This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Oh boy, that is channeling.
That's channeling.
I don't know that what channel.
That was purely Ashtar. I had nothing to do with that.
Right, Ashtar came in through his body.
I wish he'd stop doing that, boy.
Now, is it easier for people just to accept what their parents did and what their peers do? I mean, to actually think for yourself and stand apart. That's not easy because the social pressures are forcing you in the other direction.
Yeah, we certainly are under pressure from a lot of directions. There's no question. And we see this in science, too. You know, the whole debunkers versus believers in ufology. If we can steer this back to ufology briefly.
I wanted to show that it applies to all of society, but let's go on.
Yeah. Absolutely. But, I mean, it's very strong in ufology versus debunkers versus believers. Debunkers, hardcore debunkers, will search for every opportunity to show that certain cases and theories and individuals are really off track. Whereas believers, you know, they're really very narrow in their beliefs because it doesn't matter whether that particular case was explained as Venus. The one that I had definitely wasn't Venus, and therefore the aliens really are real. You get that kind of attitude all the time. So it really does apply across the board, from religion to politics to ufology to scientific views to views on, you know, even which a manufacturer of power tools are better, or cars. I mean, you simply cannot convince a Chevy owner that Ford is better. It just doesn't work like that.
You see, I'm really an outlier here because I never fell in love with one car brand. I've had a number of different car brands. Whatever sounds interesting, if I can afford it when I'm in the market for a car, and that's less and less so as I get older, that's what I get. I think the only area where I stuck with something would be Apple.
Oh, let's see, there's the same thing, Apple versus IBM, or PC, I suppose, versus Apple. I mean, people are convinced one way or another.
Yeah, I've had Apple since I started publishing a zine way back in the early 90s. That's because they were the only computers available that did graphics reliably and nicely. So I've stuck with that just because of that. I mean, it's just, you know, I realize that's it's my own track. And cars, I guess I've had Hondas for a long time because the things run forever. So I guess I'm not going to leave Hondas anytime soon.
And in terms of computers, you know, you've got the IBM Apple debate, and then you get this third party candidate Linux coming up, and you say, what the heck are you talking about?
Well, you know what's very interesting about IBM now? Do you know what the most popular computer for IBM employees now is?
Yeah, I Macs. Read that.
Yeah. And the reason is because Apple and IBM made a deal where they developed custom mobile software for Apple's products. And then they decide to offer IBM employees a choice. You want a PC or a Mac? And they've got 90,000 Macs right now at IBM, which is, I think, the largest corporate customer. But then they came out with an announcement, and this, the Mac versus PC, people will scream, but this is the announcement. It costs, over a four-year period, the cost of ownership of the Mac is $250 to $550 less. And for 90,000 Macs, they have five support people. So maybe Macs cost more when you buy them, but a company is not looking at just the purchase price. They're looking at the cost of ownership. Mm-hmm. And that's where the Macs are just always cheaper.
It's always something.
Yeah, makes sense. You know, I've had one Mac die on me in, 20 years? So that might be the other thing. They seem to be fairly reliable for the most part.
Never, ever had one die on me. I had one Mac, kept developing some minor issues. It was a PowerBook 5300 CE from the mid-90s before Steve Jobs came back to the company. And this little liquid adhesive on the screen bezel at the bottom would keep leaking out. I sent it to Apple. They fix it. And then I get it back, and 3 months later, I send it back again. Yeah, maybe it was some kind of ghost phenomenon.
Uh-huh.
It's like who was it that used to walk into labs and things would start breaking? Not Enrico Fermi. It was one of the other early quantum physicists. But people started telling him not to come into the lab because stuff would spontaneously break when he got there.
You mean Uri Geller?
Yeah, he wasn't an early physicist, but whatever. Go ahead, Gene. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. It's perfectly okay. But getting back to the UFO field, you know, part of the problem in figuring out what's going on is that when people enter the field, they're told these are spaceships. That's a social meme. Flying saucers equals spaceships. People interested in UFOs are spaceship believers. And you can't move them away from that.
It is. It's very tough to get over the UFO equals spaceship equation. Very, very difficult.
If you were to get away from it, what would you hypothesize?
Well, you know, that's the tough question. Is there anything else? I mean, we can certainly talk in terms of, and I was on an actual AM radio station this morning in studio, and they asked me about other dimensions and parallel universes and so forth. And the question is, could the aliens, instead of being from Mars or Venus or whatever, be from a parallel universe or an alternate dimension? The trouble is that, my university degree was in math, or one of my degrees was in math as well as education. And we can talk in terms of quantum physics, and we can talk in terms of higher dimensions and alternate dimensions and so forth, but we really have no idea what that means. The assumption is that, let's say there's aliens that exist in the seventh dimension, and they manifest themselves as balls of light bobbing along the countryside in our very, very limited 1, 2, 3, 4 dimensions. Well, that's nice to say, except something existing in a seventh dimension will also exist in the 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 dimensions, and we don't see a lot of evidence of some of that other stuff that's going on. And existing in multiple dimensions simply is a mathematical concept. We really have no way of translating that into the physical senses. We can say perhaps it's spiritual, but even the concept of ghosts and numinous entities, things like that, we have no scientific way to describe those. So to say that something's from a higher dimension makes no sense scientifically or mathematically. It just doesn't work, and it doesn't help us. You might as well say that the beings pop in and out through waving a magic wand, because there's really no difference between that in terms of scientific discussion. In terms of parallel universes, well, there are some very advanced theories of cosmology with posit alternate universes or universes beyond our own that don't intersect. And the problem is they don't intersect. And traveling between universes that don't intersect causes a little bit of a problem. So again, we don't have the physics or the mathematics that would describe such things. So sort of throwing them around as possibilities doesn't even amount to a theory. It's just saying, throwing up your hands and shrugging and just saying you don't know. So I would rather say I simply don't know, rather than invoking some sort of, universal consciousness or something like that some people are talking about. So if it's not aliens, and, one theory is that there really aren't, I guess that's a possibility, but if there really are aliens, how do they get here from there, wherever they are? That's an interesting discussion. But is it possible that UFOs are a natural phenomenon? Michael Persinger made a lot of papers and a lot of studies on the possibility that UFOs represent some sort of tectonic energy, that there's electromagnetic energy from inside the Earth that is being released in very subtle and discrete amounts that either manifest as balls of light or make people think, because of the energies affecting their minds, make them think that they're seeing UFOs.
Let's pursue this on next segment. Chris Rutkowski, okay. Greg Bishop, Gene Steinberg, you're in
the Paracast.
The award-winning graphic converter, the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. Get 20% off from lemkesoft.de/gene. That's lemkesoft.de/gene. Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
Warning, if you've recently declared bankruptcy, you're going to want to change the station. Because there's an alternative to bankruptcy, and it could be faster than you'd ever think possible. But if you've already declared bankruptcy and have missed this opportunity, you'll want to change the station now. Here it is. Right now, the company that has resolved more credit card debt than anyone in the U.S. may be able to settle your debt, too. You could reduce your debt with one low monthly program payment. If you call right now and qualify, Freedom Debt Relief will show you how low your monthly program payment could be for free. Call now. 1-800-557-3965. That's 1-800-557-3965. If you're struggling with debt, this could be your answer. And the bigger your debt, the more money you could save. To find out for free how much of your hard-earned money Freedom Debt Relief could help you save, call now. 1-800-557-3965. 1-800-557-3965. 1-800-557-3965.
Diabetes is at war with your circulatory system. Fight back with Cartovite. Cartovite is a dietary supplement containing powerful herbs for circulation and healthy cardiac function. Improve your energy, stamina, and mental acuity. Reduce swelling, cold hands, and risk of amputation. Get your blood flowing with Cartovite. This 5-star rated product was developed by a diabetic pharmacist and is available online at www.getbloodflowing.com. That's www.getbloodflowing.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Has neck, back, or shoulder pain got you down? Go to sunshine-pillows.com and get soothing comfort, support, and pain relief fast. Their microwavable heat therapy pillows and wraps treat neck and shoulder pain, reduce stress, and relax the soul. An ergonomic pillow from Sunshine Pillow supports your head and neck on long trips or when simply resting at home. Be good to yourself. Visit sunshine-pillows.com. Sunshine-pillows.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
I like that one. That was pretty good.
Is that like a gargling thing?
No, that's the Bugs Bunny thing, you know, so Paracast. Stunned silence.
You get what you pay for, folks. That's all I can say.
The price of free radio.
Yeah.
Forgot to say that the non-ET ideas about UFOs was a question that was sent to us from Kurt Collins.
Wouldn't you know it? Thanks.
Yeah, he just wanted to put you on the spot.
Well, if we want to talk a little bit more about Persinger and the tectonic strain theory and things like
sure.
that, those are viable explanations. I mean, you can actually study the possibility of that by doing some scientific testing. I actually have studied the tectonic strain in some detail. I've actually published scientific papers in peer-reviewed journals. One of my undergraduate theses was about it. So I don't think it's a viable explanation for UFOs. But it's an interesting theory, and it may have some applications elsewhere. Earthquake lights and so forth may have some relation to this. So there are some things like that. There's been some discussion about whether UFOs represent some form of energy in the atmosphere, atmospheric energy like sprites. You know, there's these giant flashes of light that are resembling lightning that shoot up from the atmosphere, very, very powerful. That certainly wouldn't explain some small balls of light that people see at close range and so forth. Then there's explanations relating to more terrestrial vehicles. Are they, in fact, some sort of American, Russian, Italian, I don't know, whatever, country's secret weapons that are being tested? And I guess the arguments against that is, you know, would you test your secret weapons in plain sight like that, or would you fly them only at Area 51 because they obviously haven't been quite perfected yet? But, I mean, that's a possibility that there's something else going on that we don't know. In fact, there's plane spotters, the equivalent of train spotters, who spend all their time examining the skies, watching aircraft flying overhead from various large centers and military bases. And that's how we found out about things called the pumpkin seed aircraft. These are a very advanced aircraft that they believe have been launched from Area 51 and other test grounds that are very, very advanced, are being used in supersonic flight to do overflights for military operations, overflights for reconnaissance and so forth. So it's through these types of things of actual plane spotters, which I guess are the conventional version of UFO spotters, that we understand that there are some, in fact, top secret aircraft that are under development that have certain characteristics. So it's very possible that there's something under development, but we haven't seen anything that seems to be in line with that. One of the explanations for the Falcon Lake UFO from 1967, and the we've talked about this on the show before, it was this saucer-shaped craft that was seen by an amateur prospector named Stefan Mihalik. It was burned by it when it took off. One of the explanations that was proposed by a Canadian researcher named Palmira Campagna, who looked through military documents and found some evidence that it was related to the Avro car and all that sort of stuff, that maybe it was some sort of U.S. military craft that was developed about the same time, and what we're seeing is actually a military vertical takeoff and landing vehicle. The problem is there was no predecessor to that object that was ever seen, and nothing came of it. I mean, the darn thing took off and landed, and you'd think that it would be still around. We'd see some evidence of the exact same craft being reported, and yet we don't have the exact description reported in other cases. So it's unlikely that it is related to a military craft in that way. So there's a series of different types of explanations that we can posit, but the reality is that the ET is the one that attracts the most attention and may have the most going for it in terms of testable hypotheses. So even though we try to avoid the extraterrestrial hypothesis, it still comes back to bite us in the ass from time to time.
How would you test for it? What and is it your favorite explanation at the moment?
Actually, of all the explanations, I don't have one. You know, I get around it by saying, you know, I'm still sitting on the fence, and those points are really digging in pretty badly right now. But
I feel the same way.
Yes, exactly. A lot of people get into ufology because they want to validate themselves. They want to prove that the aliens are really here. They want to find the evidence. A lot of field investigators for MUFON want to, crack the case. They want to find the case that will prove once and for all that the aliens are here. That was never my intent. I was always interested in UFOs as either a psychological or a sociological phenomenon. And I've made this case before that if UFOs aren't physical, then they're at least psychological and sociological. And in any of those cases, they're deserving of scientific study. And that's right. What I want to talk to the scientific community about. And some people are really adamant that they're, you know, it's just a matter of time before we get that case, before disclosure really happens and we can prove once and for all that we're right. Ha 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 ha, nanny nanny boo boo, that the aliens really are here. But there are a number of people like myself who aren't from that bag. We're studying the phenomenon as a phenomenon, gathering data, talking to people, openly talking about it, sharing information, trying to understand all the different facets of the phenomenon. I mean, as much as I think that the contactee and channeling thing is really going off track, it's a part of the phenomenon that we can't ignore, and for that we should be studying it in more detail. Maybe we should be testing channelers. I know that they refuse to be tested, but by golly, you know, try to say to some of them, okay, I know you want us to clean up our act on Earth and stop wars and all this sort of thing, but, you know, do you have that cure for cancer anywhere, really, just sort of kicking around on Venus there? There must be something that you can give us. There are ways of, I think, approaching this in a very scientific manner, challenging the status quo, and I think that's something that I'd like to see in ufology, a channeling of the status quo. Why can't, you know, some of the hardcore ufologists work in conjunction with some of the hardcore debunkers? In fact, I turned to Tim Printy when I was doing some of my research and data analysis for the Canadian UFO Survey, and I said, do you have any, you know, idea what this particular case might be? Can you offer some suggestions? You want to give us a hand? I think that's a valid way of approaching the subject, because if ufology isn't going to be its own harshest critic, then by golly, go to a critic and try and come up with some mutual understanding. There might be something there.
Definitely.
One thing I wanted to ask about, because it kind of follows the discussion we've had in recent episodes, about what I would call, and it has nothing to do with the TV show by that name, the one step beyond phenomenon, and we can pick up on this in the next segment, that UFOs over the centuries, or at least since 1897, appear to demonstrate technology that's somewhat ahead of us, but not incredibly ahead of us. Or am I wrong? We've got Chris Witkowski, Gene Steinberg, Greg Bishop, you're in.
Whose turn is it?
That paragraph.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. you can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hi, Peter Porcaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I wanted you to do that. Guess whose turn it is and just do it. Or use psychic powers.
I got props for the next one, so.
Okay, you can do the next.
No, it's not the ocarina.
Okay, so seriously speaking, we're all serious in society, some people say. Do you notice that, too? This thing where the UFOs appear, in a lot of cases, to be just a step ahead of us.
Yeah, you know, that's been talked about before, that, you know, we see mystery rockets manifesting in the 1940s or so that are just a little bit ahead of their time, and mystery aeroplanes were just a little bit ahead of their time in the 1800s when people were seeing the mystery balloons and dirigibles and airships and so forth. The technology that was being thought of was a little bit ahead of the time. In fact, I remember when the airships were being discussed by a number of newspapers in my research that I was going through the airship mystery. A lot of people were talking about the amazing abilities of some of the airship inventors and the airship pilots. And the abilities were really ahead of the technology of that day, but it was being speculated upon. And I think it's more related to the fact that even now we're talking about Star Trek and Star Wars and flights between the stars. And we don't have that technology, but we're positing that some of the UFOs and flying saucers that are being observed now might have that technology. Whereas in the 1940s and 50s, they were being talked about like nuclear engines and things like that, which the technology didn't quite exist back then, but it was being talked about. So I think, believe it or not, science fiction And literature plays a very big role. It's interesting. We've come around from Ming the Magnificent Emperor, that science fiction has played a big role in the development of science, and certainly within ufology itself, that there is a relationship, and perhaps one is needed or tags along with the other. And, you know, we're living in the Steven Spielberg universe right now, in the sense that we can now envision, we turn on our televisions, we go to a movie, and we can see aliens on the big screen. We can see spaceships flying between the stars. We can see what the types of interactions might imply. When The Arrival opens in theaters in just a matter of days now, it really puts a perspective on who we are and what would it really mean to communicate with an alien race that's really truly alien, and would we even have any kind of dialogue whatsoever, and what are the implications for the human race? It allows us to speculate, and at the same time, you know, that we're able to envision this because of such things, and it allows some scientists to see, you know, the ones who are graduate students today or maybe high school students today, in 10 years, it'll allow them the opportunity to think in terms of what's possible, not what is impossible. You know, it's impossible to fly between the stars. You'll have somebody 10 or 20 years from now saying, you know what, I think it's possible to travel between the stars, and this is how I think we can do it. So once you have that shift in the relationship between fiction and fact, I think there's a lot of opportunity for good dialogue, and that's one thing that really excites me about what's coming up in the future.
So can we expect warp drive?
Well, whether it's actual warp drive traveling faster than the speed of light, which is by definition impossible, or cheating the speed of light through wormholes or something like that, I think it will be eventually possible to travel great distances in the universe. I don't know how it could be done right now. There's nothing, absolutely nothing in our physics that shows that it can be done right now. But maybe it's simply looking at the equations in a different way, perhaps finding a material that hasn't been tried before. Stan Friedman talks about, you know, the possibility of mixing, I don't know, vanadium with copper with a little bit of lanthanide mixed in. And nobody's ever tried that before, but what happens when you do? What kind of material do you produce by doing that? So, you know, maybe there's something that's just around the corner that will allow us to speculate in ways that we haven't even thought of right now.
I got a question. Chris, you've just been describing, you know, a little bit ago, that all the technology that people see with regards to UFO reports seem to be just ahead of the technology of the time, or at least comprehensible in the time that they're seen. What do you think of the idea that the witness is extrapolating based on something they saw, and that's the only thing they can think of?
Yes. Yeah, I think that's certainly because the a UFO experience is witness-based, the witness factor is very strong. It can be very possible that there are two witnesses side by side, and one sees a spaceship and one sees, you know, just an odd aircraft, as the simplest example. So, I mean, that's certainly possible. And if the witness's own predisposition is that they're aliens, they'll see aliens. If the witness predisposition is that they're very religious and they're looking for a sign from God, that's what they're going to see. So there's a lot of factors at play. In fact, that's another interesting avenue for research, to talk about the religiosity of ufology. How does that play into one's belief systems and desires as well? So I think there's a lot of material for discussion in there.
Right. Thank you. Gene?
Yes. Now, the thing about it that's most important here is when we talk about UFOs and contacting extraterrestrials, how does that endanger religions here? Because if they tell us they have a specific religion which is totally alien to us, do we treat them as infidels, or do we now adopt that religion because they are more advanced?
There's another, we could do a whole show on that one. There's a movie in the works based on a novel titled The Sparrow. I'm trying to remember the author. It's a woman with three names. I can't remember right now. People can Google it as I'm talking and trying to rack my brain. But it was actually in production, and they ran into some difficulties. I think Matt Damon was even in the works, or named as one of the protagonists. And the premise of The Sparrow is that an extraterrestrial signal is received, and a spaceship is launched from Earth to go and investigate. And the ship lands, and there's some seriously tragic consequences, and a great difference of opinion between the aliens and the Earthlings. The ship was actually sent into space by Jesuits, a Jesuit order. In our history, the Jesuit orders and the Vatican were actually behind a lot of exploration. You know, Christopher Columbus was commissioned, that the Jesuits were sent to quote unquote explore North America. But at the same time, Jesuits were responsible for things like the development of time zones. There was a lot of science behind them. So it's actually a religious group that actually are sent off into space. Sometimes with tragic consequences, and the aliens have their own types of religion, and it could be at great odds between some of the world's religions here. So do we adopt theirs? Do we dump ours? It's kind of odd. It's a little embarrassing to talk about, but I actually spoke in a church as part of a sermon that somebody was giving about the universe. I was invited to speak on the possibility of aliens out there in the universe and the implications for us here on Earth.
Let's do that description of that sermon in our next segment with Chris Rutkowski, with Gene and Greg. You're in
the Paracast, I believe.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if you had no contract, no activation fees, no hidden costs, tracking, tracing, harvesting customer data, or draconian gimmicks? All on America's largest 4G, LTE, GSM, and Sprint networks. Introducing Pix Wireless. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, or unlock GSM phones with Pix, and choose from an arsenal of monthly plans or build your own. Starting at only $2.99 per month. Get connected now. Call or click 1-866-205-9513 or PixWireless.com, spelled PIXWireless.com. Pick Pix and get connected today.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists. Get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow. A new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I believe this is the Paracast. I believe that we have a second radio show called After the Paracast. I believe that we also offer a commercial-free version of this show. I believe if you go to plus.theparacast.com, you learn what it's all about. So Reverend Rutkowski is delivering a sermon, sir.
Yes, and I pointed out that the Bible, Christian Bible, does actually not exclude the possibility of aliens out there somewhere. There are passages in the Bible that describe Jesus describing there are many in my home are many rooms and so forth, many mansions. And there's nothing that precludes aliens existing, that God could have created a plurality of habited worlds out there in the universe somewhere. I mean, this would be terrible to, you know, for Galileo, for example, to talk about, and he was burned for it or criticized for it quite severely. But there's nothing that precludes aliens out there. And in fact, I know there people have speculated on the possibility that if aliens are out there, you know, should we go out and try and convert them? Mother Teresa herself spoke along these lines. There is a UFO landing pad in the town of St. Paul, Alberta in Canada. It's actually been featured in a number of TV shows. You can Google it. It's actually a tourist attraction. The Center for UFO Studies UFO Museum, Traveling UFO Museum Collection, is now permanently installed there. It's actually built in the shape of a flying saucer. It's Canada's version of Roswell, where they have UFO conferences in there. Mother Teresa actually had a ceremony on the top of the UFO landing pad when she was visiting the area quite a long time ago, I'm thinking in the 80s. And she made the statement that if there were poor and sick aliens out there in space, it is the responsibility of us humans to go out there and help them. So, I mean, this has been talked about by a number of individuals. And, you know, just because aliens aren't mentioned in the Bible isn't any reason to discount them. In fact, domestic cats are never mentioned in the Bible, and yet they were certainly in existence back then, and we seem to accept them very well into everyday life. So the possibility that aliens exist, I think is scripturally fine. And, you know, I don't think it should shatter too many religious issues unless you're dealing with fundamentalists who would reject any concept whatsoever. But I think the average person would have no trouble at all with accepting the possibility that aliens exist from a religious standpoint. It would actually encourage people to think in terms of a larger universe, that, you know, that some entity God created not only the, you know, the galaxies far away from us, but creatures very much like ourselves on a planet not that far away. In fact, it goes against fundamentalism, but many Christians accept evolution quite well and assume that God created us through evolution and intervened in that sense. But and if that's true, then why couldn't the same be done by God on other planets? The difference being that, as far as we know, we're the only creatures in this galaxy or universe who've experienced salvation from Jesus Christ, because, you know, he hasn't visited those other planets to our knowledge. So I think that from a religious point of view, I think that although it would take some adjustment, I don't think it would really cause a great upheaval in the way people have been approaching their faith. In fact, it might encourage people to increase their faith, because it would challenge them in ways that so far they haven't had a chance. Boy, right. I really knocked that one, didn't I?
You knocked that out of the park. I don't know where to follow up with that one, because, you know, I'm not a great expert on religion or how it relates to this. What I'm thinking here is more about UFOs and returning to what we see. How much of what we see is manipulated by we inferior humans because we can't perceive the actual reality?
Well, I mean, we certainly don't see all of the spectrum, given that. What's really going on, I don't know. And this is, I suppose, where we're going to creep into the ghost discussion, which we did promise we were going to do that. I did tell people we were going to talk about that, you know. So there is a relationship, probably, where we can talk about UFOs that are seen only by people who are sensitive to be seeing certain things. That's a possibility. Sometimes we can be looking straight ahead and not see things that are literally in front of our face, because we just don't have that perceptual ability. Maybe things are in the infrared, the radio spectrum, or so forth. That's certainly possible. And in terms of altering our reality, we do form our own reality every day in the way we look at things. You know, when we go off to work and driving down the freeway, our reality is that particular car that we're driving in, or the bus or the subway and so forth. We don't really have anything to do with the reality that's 10 blocks away. So we are certainly missing out on everything that's going on around us. We're very focused on what's going on. If UFOs are a part of that, one would think that they're a part of a greater reality, that they're part of every aspect of our world. Why couldn't the aliens be manifesting, if they really are here, in a variety of different ways, and you know, subtly disguising their presence here? I mean, this starts getting into Paul Hellyer and others talking about the tall whites disguising themselves as nuns and walking around Las Vegas. I don't think we have to go there to say that there are different realities that we can experience, and that there are ways that an alien being might choose to make its presence less known if they so choose. We don't know the technology. We don't know the capability. We don't even know the physical appearance of aliens, despite, you know, people insisting that they're gray, insectoid, blue, and so forth. So I think that ufology is what you make of it, but there are some hard truths that, you know, 95% of the cases either have explanations or aren't, you know, don't have enough information to make one judgment one way or another. There's only a small percentage that you can't explain, and those are the ones that we need to study in some detail. So there are some facts to look at, but the rest of it is really open to interpretation.
So how do we search the reality behind all that?
Well, I think we have to go back to the basics. You know, if you're talking about UFOs, the basis of ufology is a UFO report. The witnesses, what does he or she see? What did it look like? How long was it there? Is there any way to find additional witnesses and try to piece together what was seen in the same way that a detective does? In fact, UFO investigators are really more like crime scene investigators. We're the CSI CSI UFO or something like that. We're trying to understand what was seen based on witness testimony and evidence left behind. And then piece together, layer by layer, what is being reported from, other jurisdictions, from people in other countries, people with different ethnic backgrounds, people with different viewpoints. Talk to the scientists in a variety of fields. Talk to the ethnologists. Talk to the historians. And I think it's a matter of piecing together the reality of what UFOs are by understanding the facts that are before us. And I think that's the best way of approaching this, rather than going off and claiming we already know that the aliens are here because we had communication from the Arcturians last week.
Those are the star beings from Zeta Reticuli.
Star beings.
We need to correct that. We can't, on the Paracast, just get these things wrong because we have these star beings who are going to take us all over or something. Or send us a check. They can send us a check.
Absolutely. And, who knows? Maybe they could be, if they have some paid advertising, you're all ears, Gene. I know you are.
Oh, yeah. I'm really desperate to sell paid advertising for the Paracast and the Tech Night Owl Live. So, if any star beings have real hard currency, not Bitcoin, I don't want to get into all that digital stuff because I'll just get ripped off. I mean, you got real money, what the heck? Sure.
Interstellar bankers.
I just got a call while we were talking. Somebody wanted to put solar energy in my home, and I said, well, I'm on the do not call list. And they said, well, I just want to tell you about this. And I said, I'm on the do not call list. Why are you calling me? This is a felony. I always say it's a felony. It doesn't, but I always tell them it's a felony, and I'm going to have you arrested because I don't like people who make unsolicited phone calls. This is not unsolicited. This is Gene. This is Chris. This is Greg. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.